Hi there, you're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in North Bushy. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
Always a joy to be here with you guys. Absolutely love you. But it's just great because I can see lots of new people too. So it's really exciting what God is doing here. So like Dan said, my name is Rita. We usually fellowship at Central, Wellspring Central. I'm here today with my husband and our two children, Paul and Matthew. It's Mother's Day, and that's my gift, because usually when I come, when I come and minister here, they're usually at Wellspring Central, because there is the youth for them as well, and they do enjoy being with the youth. So this morning, I think I had a little bit of a blackmail thing going on here. It's Mother's Day. What would you like? Come with me to St. John North Bushy. And they're here. So that's really good. I'm sure their dad had to pull a few strings as well. I don't know how much we've got to pay for this afterwards. But but you know what? It doesn't matter. They're here and I'm really happy. But like I said, it's great to be here. And we've been, as a church, really following this whole year where we have a theme going, which is beyond. I don't know if you've seen the T-shirts and the caps and all the things that's modeling. And it's beyond, and it's E318. And it's great, as Mother's Day, we have got E317, because it says here, may your roots grow down into God's love and keep you strong. But I want to read E318, which is the core verse, and I really am believing God that by the end of this year that we would be able to memorize that verse, but not just memorize it, but it would mean so much and would actually live. You know, it's not just about hearing God's word, but doing it. So this word would actually bear fruit in our lives in whatever we do. But it's interesting because it actually says, Ephesians 3:18, and may you have the power to understand. This thing is so great and so rich and so true that when you apply it to your life, it just changes your life and it makes a real difference to your life. That Paul is saying here, that it's almost like a prayer. I pray that you will have the power to understand. We need to actually understand this. It's a spiritual thing. It's almost like, it's like God, give us the revelation to understand. And guess what he's praying for us to have the power to understand? He says, I pray that you have the power to understand as all God's people should. Are we God's people in this place this morning? Yeah. I pray that you will have the power to understand as all God's people. That includes you and I. And it says, how wide, how long, and how high. How deep his love is. How long, how wide, and how deep his love is. And as we journey through the book of Genesis and Exodus, and as we go through the year, wherever scripture that we decide to pause on and to meditate on, whatever passage of the Bible we decide to preach a sermon on, that we will have this lingering in the background of our minds. That God's love is deep and wide and it can reach us wherever we are. It's a beautiful verse to take on, because it doesn't matter where you are, 24/7, whether you are in the office, whether you are in the workplace, whether you are catching a bus, whether you're having a conversation, a difficult one or easy one, just remember, God's love reaches you. It reaches that friend, it reaches that pain, it reaches wherever you are, God's love reaches you. The last 2 weeks, I don't know if you have been here or if you haven't and you've listened to the messages that Nathan and Meredith have been sharing, and it's just been really great, because I got opportunity to listen to it, and it's an incredible journey through the book of Genesis, and now we are in Exodus chapter 15. But just a quick recap. So 2 weeks ago, Nathan preached on, and the title was just Dig. It was about digging in. You know, he talked about Joseph and whatever he went through, the hardship. He learned how to survive by digging in. He dug in. And he didn't dig it into the conversations that people were going, that was going on around him. He dug it into God. And he knew God and he survived. You know, he found so much favor wherever he was. He dug in and he was not bitter, even when his brother sold him. If you've been to Sunday school, if you've been a Christian for longer than a few years, you know, you would have heard this story. And you know Joseph survived all the hardships and all the battles because he dug in. And he had the most incredible anointing of God and the grace to forgive. Because, you know, his brother sold him. But when they came to him for food, he revealed himself in the most incredible way. And he forgave them. They were petrified. He's like, don't worry, guys. I forgive you. You didn't do this. You did this to harm me. But God had a better reason for doing this. Because God turns all things round together for the good for those who love the Lord. And Joseph loved the Lord, and he survived prison, and he experienced God's love. Even in the pits of hell, he was right in there, and God's love reached him. In prison, God's love reached him. And as a result of that, he was able to dig in into God and dig out into the community. He forgave, and he, you know, he was able to bring such a blessing to a whole community. And then last week, the message was all about God reminding us that, you know, it's not the end. Really great messages. And we had a fantastic history lesson. Meredith took us through the whole of her, I think, Exodus, huge chapters of it. And I, as I was listening, I had a big smile on my face because we got to the bit where the children of Israel got to the Red Sea. And, you know, it was almost like God was a sat nav to Moses. And he said, this is the way to go. And they've come to the Red Sea. And he's like, come on, guys. And they must be looking at him thinking, you must be crazy. Can you not see the sea? And I smiled because a few years ago, we went on holiday to France. And we took my husband's car, and they had the sat-nav in there. And we were just, you know, going around France. Obviously, it's not home from home. So we were relying on the sat-nav. And I remember we got to a place where the sat-nav was trying to say to us, there was a sea in front of us. And the voice in the sat-nav just kept saying, yeah, at the end of the road, turn right. And I remember sitting in the car thinking, we're going in the sea. It was just so funny. So when I read this part and I was listening, I was thinking, well, it just sounds a bit like the sat-nav we had in France, you know. Just thinking, doesn't matter, there's a sea. And I'm just thinking, well, I looked around me, it was Michael sitting next to me, it wasn't Moses, and he didn't have a rod, you know. So he wasn't going to part that sea into two, and then suddenly we're just going to go, woo, you know, through it. But you know, we've got the best sat-nav in the whole wide world, and that's Jesus, that's God. He is incredible. He knows the beginning from the end. And in that passage that, you know, the whole message, you know, that Nathan was saying, he wanted to be their rescuer. He wanted to do it his way because, you know, he's a jealous God. He doesn't share his glory with anyone. I mean, we daren't go through that sea when the sat-nav told us because we would have drowned big time. But when God says go, even though they could see the sea, they went. They had to. Because it's God. He knows the end from the beginning. And so when you read Exodus chapter 15, oh my goodness, I don't think we've got time to read it, but we'll read a bit of it. Because once they've crossed, you know, just before they finished crossing, they started a song of praise. And when I was reading through the whole of Exodus chapter 15, and I could hear these, you know, tambourines and I don't know if they had tambourines with them because they left Egypt. But I could just hear a Meredith voice and the drummers on there. And the people just had a party because they experienced God rescuing them. He is such a good God and he wants us free. God wants to set us free. He really does want to set us free. And he said, you know, he said to Moses several times, he says, I'm giving you a word to take to Pharaoh. He says, you go to Pharaoh and you tell them and you say to him, let my people go. Let my people go that they may worship. He said, I'm commanding you. This is not open to negotiation. This is not the car dealers where you can just go in and they'll give you the, you know, this is how much you have to pay. And we love it. We love it. We like taking my husband everywhere because he can just huggle. Sometimes it just gets a bit embarrassing, but he's so good. You know, they give you a deal. And then, you know, Paul and I, we went to look at a car for him because he's learning to drive. And I sat there and I was thinking, oh, I really wish Daddy was here. You know, even though sometimes when he's there, I'm just thinking, gosh, it's a bit embarrassing. You're going a bit too low. You know, they've given us a price. But I'm sure that there's always margin in there, you know. But you can't do that in John Lewis. You know, when the prize is on the tag, you can't go in there and pick up the shirt and go, oh, that's in a nice Armani shirt. And you take it to the till and go, 20%? Well, so you can't do that, really, can you? And that's what God said to Moses. He says, you go to Pharaoh and you say this to him, let my people go that they may worship. It was a command. There was no room for negotiation. He's like, this is a command. I am God and I'm telling you, go do this. And you know, the enemy never wants us free. He doesn't. So he tries and he will try. And you know, sometimes you just think in his battle after battle after battle. And as I was reading the passages, this kept jumping at me. Let my people go that they may worship. And in this place, I really believe that, you know, I saw this picture of you know, I saw this picture. I don't know if it's one of you, but if this relates to you at the end, come and so we can pray with you. But you were literally in a ball like this and you just had enough and you're just so fed up. And I could just, there was this declaration over you. Let my people go. It's like freedom, freedom. God is bringing freedom. And it's like, you're going to see the end of it. It might not feel like it. You know, sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray. And we've come to the end of it. And we're just thinking, where are you, God? The enemy can only try. Sometimes he brings delays. But you know, God's purposes will prevail. He can only try. So for several times, as you heard in the history lesson you got last week from Meredith, Pharaoh was not going to let the children go. And several times in the book of, you know, Exodus, he was like, you know, Exodus 8:1, 8:20, 9:13, 10:3. It's like, just go back and say the same thing. I'm not negotiating. I am saying exactly what it was. And in the end, Exodus 10:24, listen to this. And this is a song of victory. This is a statement of victory for some of you in this place. And I want you to receive this. I want you to believe this. I want you to walk out of here just declaring this, just receiving it in your spirit. Exodus 10:24, after so many times when Moses had gone to say to Pharaoh, let my people go, and he wasn't doing it, he says here, then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, oh, listen to this. This is so good. Go worship the Lord. Ha ha. Finally. Do you know, God's going to win. He wins the battle. He wants us free. He said this. Listen, I cannot begin to imagine after so many plagues upon plagues and him being so stubborn. Exodus 10:24, Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, go, 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 go worship the Lord. Well, that was the initial statement. That was what God said. That was the command. Let my people go. So he finally says, go. And listen, he said, even your women and children may go with you. Cheeky. As if to say, you know, he had a choice in there. But then he tries to bargain again. Only leave your flock and herds behind. And by this stage, Moses, who was a little bit timid at the beginning, had received so much strength and so much favor and so much cheek that he said to him, actually, that's not enough. We want everything. We're not leaving behind the flocks and herds. We're pushing. Favor is here. And so we're going for the jungle. We're going for the next level up. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us free. So he sets them. He says, right, go. And then they go. And then Pharaoh just still doesn't, you know, he doesn't retreat. So he wants to follow them on. But the purpose of deliverance was not to please ourselves. It was not for the children of Israel to please themselves. And I think that's the key here. He says, let my people go so that they may preach with me. Let my people go so that they may. That's it. Let my people go, not so that they may please themselves, not so that they may do what pleases them and just, you know. Because, you see, the danger is when we begin to please ourselves, we end up in bondage again. Because we're not doing what God's will is. How many times have you had conversations with people and they've said to you, oh, if there was a God, why is this happening? If there was a God, why is there so much suffering? If there was a God. The question is always, if there was a God, if there is a God, if there is a God, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? And I think it lies in this whole area of freedom. There is a free will that God has given us. And when we have this free will, we make choices. But God is saying here to Moses, when the people go, they will come in and worship me. I want them to worship me. But there's an interesting thing here, because you see, the word in Hebrew for worship is avodah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it well. But it means work, labor, service, and slavery. But it's the same word which is used in Exodus 7:16 when it says, let my people go that they may avad in the wilderness. So it's the same word here for worship and for serve. And when I was reading and actually digging deep into it, I realized here that God was onto something. You see, Pharaoh was not a good king. He was almost like a god with a small g. And the children of Israel were almost serving this god. And God's like, you know, if you read further into the Ten Commandments, he says, thou shalt have no other god before me. He's not sharing this service with anybody else. This service that we see here in Exodus 7:16, is about worship. It's not just singing a few songs. It's not just coming to church on a Sunday, having a worship service, but it's that they may worship, that they may serve me, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's a good master. When we serve God, we don't end up in bondage and slavery. We end up in freedom. Because the Bible says that he that the Son has set free is free indeed. And you know, if I start this sentence on John chapter 8, if I just start this sentence, I'd love you to finish it off. And it says here, and you will know the truth, and the truth will. That's a really good statement. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But just 8:31, read it, what it says. Jesus said to the people who believed. So this statement was made, this verse was said to people who believed, believers like you and I. And it says, Jesus said to the people who believed, you are truly my disciple if you remain faithful to my teachings. You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is something before that statement. It's about relationship. It's about knowing God. It's about living with him. And when, you know, in the Greek mindset, when we talk about the word know, it's about knowledge. It's about education. It's about filling your brains with stuff, you know. But when in the Hebraic mindset, the word know means intimacy. It means relationship. You know, Jesus spent so much time with his disciples. He knew everything. Jesus knows everything. He could have just, you know, literally just spoken over them and then they would know the whole of Scripture inside out. But he taught them through relationship. Relationship is so important. Do you know, and I was just, you know, when I heard about Meredith and Nathan's situation, I'm just like, but God, you know, the cattle on the hill belongs to you. What is money for you? You know, you can do this. You can provide. You can come through. You know, you can literally, this is nothing. But what God wants is relationship. And if through this, you know, Meredith was saying that every time she presses into God, you know, she's digging into God. And she's having a better and better relationship. I mean, that is worth more than £1 million, I can assure you. Because money doesn't sort all the problems out. But when we have God's mind, when we spend more time with him, when we know his heart, when we hear his heart, then he can speak to us. You know, as a community, we want to do what God wants us to do. The Bible says that the harvest is truly plentiful. But when we get to hear God's heart, we know what to pick up. We know what to lay down. We know where he wants us. You know, he might want us in here for a short time. He might want us out. But whatever it is, you know, disappointments may come, but we press into God. We are pressing in and we're growing and we're getting to hear his heartbeat. And just like we were singing our worship songs, you know, break my heart for what breaks yours. It's when we have had that intimacy with him, then we can hear daddy's heart. Yeah, what makes your heart break? Okay, this is what you want me to do. I will just go and do exactly what you're calling me to do. Because you see, when we serve not from a place of intimacy, we get tired. We get frustrated. There is so much to do. I'm telling you, there is just so much to do. When you look around, you're just thinking, well, you know, where do I start? Well, start with Jesus. He's calling us into this deep and intimate relationship. He wants us more than anything. He wants us more than the things we do. And so today, you know, in this short message, I'm just really wanting us to reprioritize what is taking up all our attention. Because, you know, when we've got needs, when we've got stuff, when everything is almost like wherever we turn, things are battling us from every left, right, and center, it takes up our mind, everything. We almost can't function. But when we learn to do that exchange, when we learn to go into daddy's presence, and when we learn to get close to him, and drop all these cares, then we're able to function even better. Because it's his problem, not ours. And we need to learn to do this, not just because, you know, oh yeah, the Bible says so. But you know, it's about putting it into practice. So that when you leave this place, whatever is taking up your mind, your time, your emotions, you just go straight to Daddy and just say, Daddy God, this is it. And I'm prepared to do the exchange. There has to be an exchange, you know. And sometimes we're so not good at dropping things at the foot of the cross because we go say the prayer, drop it all up, and then by the time we get up, we pick it all up again. And then we're, you know, but he's saying, come to me, do the exchange. You've got to drop it. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because when we come to the cross and we drop everything at the foot of the cross, we walk away leaving that, but having his yoke, which is easy and light. We can function again. We can hear him again. You know, we can, when there's a need in the community, when a sister or a brother needs healing, you've got daddy's heart. You've got God's heart so much. And it's an overflow. Oh, can I pray for you? You lay hands and nothing is coming from your own being. It's coming from him. You know, when you spend time with so much, you almost become one with them. It's a great thing. You hear his voice. You know, when my husband rings me, I don't go, hello, who are you? Because I know who he is. I can recognize his voice from afar. Although I got a bit confused once when him and his brother were in the back of the car. They're so similar. they started talking. I was thinking, is this my husband? Is this John? You know, I wasn't sure which one it is. But you get to know somebody the more time you spend with them. And God is calling us, first as an individual, secondly as a community. He wants to know us. You know, as Meredith and Nathan come to play and to lead us in, I want to read one more scripture. And this scripture, actually, sometimes, you know, when I've read it, it just almost breaks my heart because, you know, Matthew 7:21, the Bible says here, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, would enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of the Father in heaven will enter. On a judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. I never knew you, really? Well, he didn't know me. I was doing all those things in his name. He's saying to us today, he wants our service to come from a place of intimacy. Remember the word no? No, no. Knowledge is intimacy for the Hebraic mindset. It's not about going to Bible school. It's not about getting all this stuff right. It's not about coming in and performing miracles. He wants to know us. So we're doing the right things at the right time. And actually, we will enjoy the Christian walk so much because it wouldn't matter what is going on around us. Because we know he's in control. And we truly know he's in control, not because I've told you, but because you've spent so much time with him that you hear him. So it doesn't matter what everybody else is saying because you know what Daddy God is saying. And remember, he's in control. So how can they blame him if they don't do what he's saying and things are going wrong? We're killing ourselves. We're just destroying the land. We're putting pollutants on the crops. We're doing so much evil in this world. And nobody's paying attention to the creator of the universe. How can we blame him when he's given us free choice? He's calling us again to that place of intimacy. And just like the children of Israel, he's saying your deliverance is for a purpose. I gave my life to the Lord. You gave your life to the Lord. You said yes to Jesus. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to serve you because you're a good master. You're better than Pharaoh. You're better than my boss at work. You want to get to know him more than just on the surface level. He's calling for intimacy. So as we stand right now, we're just going to spend some time in God's presence. I didn't get a chance to read Exodus 15, but just read that when you go home, because it's full of jubilation. They were singing, they were exalting God, they were just jumping up and down, they were clapping, and they were singing some truths because they're experiencing it. I want you to experience Daddy God for who he is. He is a good God. We sing it. Have you experienced his goodness? He is a good, good Father. We sing it all the time. That's who you are. He wants us to experience it, not just on the head level, but in the heart level. So we just rise right now. We're going to respond to this message. And you have heard what I have said, but I believe that God in the form of his spirit is here and he wants to speak to you. He wants to draw you closer than never before. What are the things that have taken your attention? What are the things that have taken your time? What are the things that have driven you away from him that you will come to church and you'll go home and you still feel dry? He says, come to me. He says, drink of me. He says, feed of me. He says, just lay your head on me. And that person, that picture's come back to me again, who is so wrapped up. God is declaring freedom over you this morning. Let's just begin to worship him. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. I'm going to hand over to Dan now, but I just want you to do business with God. Just do business with God. It's you and him. He's calling you into that place of intimacy. Maybe we need to repent. Just say, sorry, God. Sorry, God, for the times that I just get on with stuff. I wake up and I just get on with it. And then I go to bed and I was thinking, oh, I didn't even say a prayer. Where were you, Lord, in the day? Just do business with God and speak to him. I do the same.
Father, we We thank you that you have set us free. Lord, you went to the cross for every single person here to set them free. And Lord, I pray that you will reveal yourself again as rescuer, as savior, as healer, as restorer, as the chain breaker to set us free. Jesus, come by your Spirit now. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.